Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Armadillo Christmas Bazaar is a fine art and shopping destination featuring local and national award-winning artists, musicians, and more in a festive and lively atmosphere. And today to talk about it, we have on Bruce Walenzik. How are you today, Bruce?
I'm doing great. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing well. I have actually been to this a couple of times in the past years, and I will admit to spending money I didn't have the first time.
The one complaint I never want to do anything about is when people tell me that the things that they find at the show were so attractive, they just had to buy them even though they couldn't afford them. And I say, oh, good.
And that's legitimately what happened was, is that I showed up and, you know, oh, I'm just here to look around. I'm not walking out without that.
Yeah, exactly. And when you see it, and it's a rare opportunity to find it, you know, you might not ever see it again. So it's really good to grab it as soon as you decide this is something that is so dear to me. It's more important than the money in my pocket and other goods and services. So I'm going to leave with some of their stuff and they can leave with some of my money.
Well, and that's how you know it's money well spent, though, along those lines,
is
that, you know, you don't walk away going, oh, man, I just ripped myself off.
No, and see, and what we try to do here is we're looking for premium presentation of premium artworks by premium artists, as well as a good selection of distinctive gifts. And people come down here and they're absolutely delighted. We get people from all over the nation travel to Austin for this event. And last year, when all of our tickets were online and we got everybody's zip codes, we were able to see how many international travelers came in just for the show. It was amazing. We were surprised. There's some neighborhoods in Brooklyn and in Seattle and San Francisco that were well represented in our attendance.
That's cool. And that just also is the testament to the, you know, you said you tried to put on an event with, you know, fine art and all that. You did a great job. It is, you know, and that's a testament to that, the fact that you have people showing up internationally to come and be a part of it.
We had big shoes to fill because of where we came from, being from the Armadillo World Headquarters. And we were this wonderful social experiment and a better way to do business and a better way to run a community and a better way to run a facility. And been in premium live music, develop careers, that kind of thing. And so that's what we're known for. When customers come in and they've never been here before, generally there's a wow factor when they come in the door. They're surprised that the room is dark and the artwork is lit. They're surprised by the quality of what they see. They're surprised by the variety. And generally, people are delighted. We have a few people, you know, who, I don't know why you'd want a grumpy Christmas, but there's always a few. But most everybody is so delighted. And we have people who come back day after day, year after year, and just feel they're part of our greater Armadillo community. So we're really pleased with that and the reception that we get. We love our home at Palmer. It's one of the best facilities we could be in. They treat us real well. We treat them real well. But with the parking right next door and the breezeway to take you in, even if it's drizzling, and the location's fabulous, but the building is excellent to be able to do the good quality production values that we put into our show.
Well, and you can get tickets to that by going to armadillobazaar.com. And it's, as he said, it's at the Palmer Event Center now through December 23rd, open 11 a.m. to 8:30. You mentioned a second ago about the history behind the Armadillo Bazaar and the big shoes to fill. And quite frankly, that's a story of the history of Austin and its little quirkiness that I don't know. So I'm going to go ahead and tell it again.
The quick explanation. Back in the 60s, there was an Austin hip community that was pretty well together and connected with a place called San Francisco on the West Coast. And that Austin-San Francisco pipeline was very much part of creating the Summer of Love, the Haight-Ashbury experience. And when that failed and fell apart, two movements came out of it. One was Harvey Milk in San Francisco with the Castro, and the other was Armadillo here to create a new model of business practices based on the hippie ethic. And when I got here in 74, we were losing it. We didn't quite have the financial understanding. And I was lucky because I had the ability to speak two different languages. I could speak hippies, and so I could talk to the hippies. And I could speak accountanese because I had a business degree. And I also had a background in selling fine wares from a family business. So this was ideal for me. Armadillo was hitting the skids financially. We were going into really bad financial situation. And I'm looking for a solution. And it was one night. Beer garden was open, and one of my real good friends shows up, Lucinda Williams, and she's crying. And I go, "What's wrong?" I'm hurting. Okay, so we went inside and we talked. It seems that this particular guitar player had said that he loved her, but had been out with groupies the night before, and so she was in tears. And we're talking, and about an hour into it, we ran out of cigarettes. I went to the machine. She says, "Would you get me 5 packs?" And I said, "Why?" She says, "Because I'm down on the drag and I have artists who are sick and I'm giving away my guitar case money. I'm living on the kindness of friends like you." So I bought her 5 packs of cigarettes and she said the magic words. "It's too bad they don't have a warm, dry place like this to sell in." And I made her repeat it. And then I told her I needed to get busy. And packed her off for the night with a big hug and sat down at the table, grabbed a notebook, and started writing. It was 9 o'clock at night. Noon the next day, they said, "It's time to bus lunch." I didn't realize I was still at the table. Wrote up a 5-year plan to build a Christmas bazaar at the Armadillo to broaden our cultural reach, secure our finances, and create a future for so many young and up-and-coming artists in this town like we had done for musicians. So we had big, big, big shoes to fill. And so we took it seriously. We put together a show. At first, it was pretty tough to put together, trying to rent a big building when you're just an Austin hippie. Take some connections, and it takes some luck. But it proved one thing to me, that everything good that ever happened in Austin happened with a combination of events and people. Nothing happened because of one person alone. It was an instigation, an irritation, a conversation that led to an inspiration. The inspiration was strong enough for collaboration and cooperation and implementation. And after all these years, I guess we're institutionalized now. But that's how we got started. And when we did, we knew we couldn't draw the best artists in the country, so we started creating them. We started working with the locals and helping them build careers, and it made a huge difference. And that's where our reputation got so strong with many, many artists across the country, saying that doing Armadillo is like getting an advanced degree in arts marketing in one season. And that may be a little exaggeration, but not much. We spend a lot of time helping people learn how to be successful in their businesses. And sometimes it's worked out really, really well. There was one guy. He's not with us anymore. He passed away from cancer, but his wife's down here this year with a tribute booth. He was young, Robert Hurst. He'd been right out of art school. Wife dedicated a year to helping him start a career, and he came to me and said, "Help me, please." And I did. I started took him under my wing and started teaching him. By the second year, he was making a profit at the show, and he never looked back. And Robert went on to become the official portrait artist for the National Football League, Major League Baseball, professional golf, basketball, hockey, National Sports Hall of Fame, Texas Sports Hall of Fame, and about everything else you could imagine during his career. So you can come down here and you can meet his wife, Pam, and you can buy prints of his. And there's a few originals for sale this year. It'd be the last time you'll be able to buy Robert Hurst originals. So that's the kind of reputation we built. Not everybody got as big as Robert, but you know, all these celebrity golf tournaments all over the country. He was one of the featured celebrities because he had painted everybody in the group and he was well known. I remember one Super Bowl, they were introducing the players and the players standing there in their business suits in front of a large portrait painted by Robert, each one of them. And so if I can have that little effect on somebody who's young and struggling and turn them into an advantage where they can, with their own effort and their own skill and talent, become someone big, that's what I made my mind to do, and that's our reputation. And why we're able to draw in top national artists from all over the country to do something that they generally don't do, and that's come all the way to Austin outside of a tour in order to come do this show. But it's been fabulous, and the reception has been tremendous.
And I got goosebumps during that story. Like, legitimately, I got goosebumps during that story. And I love the fact that that story starts with a legendary musician and ends with a legendary artist.
Yeah, and but that's what it's all about. And some of our artists have been with us many, many years. We had a death in the group this year. We lost Hans Flemke, who was the first artist to sign up in 1976. He was the first one to buy a booth.
Well, sorry for your loss.
It'll be the first year without him. But you know what? That's what happens. If we can make someone a lifetime of happiness and prosperity, that's kind of as good as you're going to get.
Well, it's exactly as you just said. You know, I'm paraphrasing. You couldn't bring in the best artists, so you help create them. That's the kind of amazing atmosphere that ends up having ripples throughout not just the community, but a world. Is, you know, Lucinda Williams and you know, a guy that has literally painted for you know, portraits for, you know, the most famous people that walk our streets. There's beauty in being able to facilitate that for people, and for it to start in a dank little situation about some cigarettes, that just kind of makes it cooler. For the record, I am not advocating smoking in any way, shape, or form, but I need to know how much those cigarettes cost. How much did those 5 packs of cigarettes cost?
I'm sure they were pretty expensive, like 35 or 40 cents each.
Because I drove by a gas station the other day and I marveled at the $8 price tag for a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, that's insane. Insane. But yeah, I think there might have been 35, 40, 45 cents back then. And
so you're talking a whole $2 spent on cigarettes, maybe?
Look what I got for it.
Yeah, that was the point. Look exactly what ended up coming out of a nasty habit and the fact that you had some pocket change.
And we got two careers. I got mine and she got hers.
I wonder if those cigarettes helped with the voice a little bit.
You know, I'm not sure. And many, 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 many years have gone by. And it's been a long time since she lived under the card table at the foot of my bed. Robert, that's where she lived. That's a wonderful history. And I always feel that I'm so fortunate to be part of this and to have basically be the custodian of it. I feel like the show belongs to the community. And I'm just a lucky guy who's running it. And I'm 75 now, so I'm prepared to just about soon pass it on to the next generation. We have a young woman working for us, Ann Johnson. Ann's parents were employees when she was born. And when she was 5 years old, her mother was setting out to go pass out our music flyers up the retail strips in town. And Ann said, "Mommy, I want to go with you." And she did. And so became the ritual of Cynthia would open the door and little baby Ann, 5 years old, come walking up to the counter with a stack of armadillo flyers and say, "Can my mommy leave these here for armadillo?" Her success rate was 100% for 3 years. They put it right over the no soliciting signs, anywhere they needed to.
That's
everywhere
awesome.
She walked into. And she told me when she was 8 years old, "One day I'm going to have your job." And she's going to.
Well, there you go. It's nice to have aspirations, I suppose.
It is. She never stopped.
Yeah,
she
you know never... what you want and you go for it.
And she was a brilliant child and she was a brilliant young adult. Now she's brilliant and turned 40. So I feel good. I can pass this on and know that it's going to be run right. It's going to keep the epic. It's going to keep the things that make it great. And that's what's important. And we feel like we're really lucky to have a city like Austin to support us, because Austin has become such a fabulous, fabulous city where creativity is revered.
And is a part of the actual community itself. It isn't like it is something that is, like a lot of cities have symphonies and things like that, but they don't actually have an art community, let alone an art community and a music community and, an acting community. That is one of the things, is people come to a city like Austin strictly to be creative.
Exactly. And so it kind of is a fallout from the Christmas Bazaar. I did my 28 years and 10 months on the City Arts Commission. Ended the arts war, started the sphere of prosperity for the arts, and got everybody working together, created some facilities like the Performing Arts Center next door, the Long Center, the Palmer here. I got the city was so good to me. They let me work on City Hall. They let me work on so many projects that I got to be part of. I chaired the new airport terminal task force and brought in the local identity based on what we do here at the Christmas Bazaar. A year after it opened, J.D. Power and Associates gave it the top ranking in the Western Hemisphere because of that program. And council said, what do you want to work on next? And I said, what are you doing next? Well, I will help you with anything. So I did a nice career of being able to do that based on the Christmas Bazaar and what we've been able to do for economic development for this city and for creating an identity that brings in people, money, energy, and attention.
I admire your career. I came on to talk about the Christmas Bazaar, and we haven't even really gotten to that yet. Because I'm enamored by your, you are a contemporary history of art and creativity in this city, and I'm sorry that is absolutely fascinating to me. So we will get to the stuff that I hear in a second, I promise. But I'm as I said, I had goosebumps when you were telling me that story earlier.
I'll leave you one more line, and this is really because of what Armadillo's mission was back then. I was just part of it. It was big, a lot of people involved. But we wanted to create a city where you can be weird, you can be strange, you can be different. But if you were creative, if you were original, and if you were good-natured about it, you were going to be adored.
That's all you can ask for.
That's all you can ask for. So it shows in the show. When people walk in, they find what they're looking for. They find beautiful fine art. And this year, because we were outside last year, we missed 2020. We have 50 plus booths of new artists. And we've got the nicest new selection of fine art we've ever had before. We've got the cream of the crop of the national touring circuit competing to get into the show. Plus, we leave spaces for developing local talent still. Because it's real important that we teach the locals how to be prosperous in their careers and that they learn this stuff. So that's what people see when they come in. They come in and it is beautiful. It's stunning. You can't help but smile. This joy permeates the building. And when you look around and you see the quality of the work, the quality of the presentation, the kindness of the artist and the people and the staff, it's just an overwhelming thing. And, 2001, after the attack on the World Trade Center and everybody's businesses were down by 40%, we were up 40%, and we couldn't understand why. So I started asking people, why are you coming back every day? It's the first time I felt good mm-hmm. since that happened, and I'm going to come, and I don't want to leave, because when I get home, it was normal. This feels good.
Yep, I can imagine that absolutely being something as a perfect escape. Go and see the most creative and the people that are not locked into that bad scenario that is outside the doors. It's that I can absolutely see that as a draw and why you would want to go every day.
So it's the perfect escape. And what people are going to find here, they're going to find really nice collectible art. They're going to find really good artists. They're going to find some really good gift items. They're going to find a lot of other stuff that they're just surprised by. And of course, there's bars, and of course, there's some food, and of course, there's the normal things that go with it. But what you're not going to find is what one local reporter referred to as cringeware, which is the stuff you see at a lot of the pop-ups and stuff, where it's just kind of put together arts and crafts. So this is really well-made, well-designed, well-placed. So as to create a merchandise mix that makes people excited.
The Armadillo Christmas Bazaar is going on now through the 23rd. I've noticed one of the biggest differences is there is art made for consumers, and then there is art made for the artists that consumers may end up liking, but that's not why it was made. And you guys are the latter of that. Is artists were going to do this no matter what. The fact that you facilitate the ability for them to be able to sell it is just a benefit for them, but it is they would be doing this anyway. This isn't sitting down and blowing glass for manufacturer's sake. This isn't sitting there and right. You know, cutting up a book for a sculpture or something like that. These people are artists, and if I ever had to describe one, would be somebody who has something inside of them that they need to let out, and yeah. There is a they found an outlet for them that they can be their most creative self. And they just hope people don't judge them for it.
That's exactly right. That's well stated. You know, I watch these people and I see sometimes they're stymied when they don't yet know how to make it work. But once they figure it out, it's just this delightful experience to watch them blossom and bloom. I mean, while doing booth coaching this year, there was this one young lady, she's a weaver and she'll be at the show. Lauren Owen is her name. And she has her degree in fashion, and she has her, you know, she's been a retailer. She knows stuff. So I'm showing her how lines of sight work and how catching the visual energy of the room works. And she starts crying. And I went, what? She says, I spent all that money on a degree and they never mentioned this once. This makes all the difference in the world. Put the best work where it can be seen. They don't teach you that in art school. They don't teach you that in fashion school. They don't need, that should be the first lesson in retail school. How did you know this? And I told, you know, I just grew up in retail. And this was the conversations at the dinner table growing up. She thinks it's going to be a huge increase in her income from now on because of that. And history tells me, yeah, that's probably right. Well, that leaves me feeling really, really good as a show producer, that I can affect someone's career with just a few minutes of instruction.
Well, yeah, but it's a few minutes of instruction from a wealth and a long time of experience. So it wasn't like you just happened to, you know, be passing by and had, you know, this is from, you know, let's say with 40, almost 50 years worth of work, just this one facility and one show alone. So
yeah.
It wasn't that much of a passing comment.
But it makes me feel so good to be able to share that and to make that work for people.
Oh, I would imagine. I was curious why your title was executive producer. Like usually people in your job have executive director or, you know, some sort of, but you're an executive producer. That's what you're producing, an art show.
We're producing a show. See, we came out of the music business. We produce concerts. It was Armadillo Productions. It's not Armadillo Directions or that kind of stuff. Productions. A producer is someone who's working the whole time. Most of these shows are run by people who are watching TV during the show. I'm down here in the trenches looking at everything that we can improve. We start working on next year's show 2-3 days after this one's over, because we want to capture everything we learned about how to make a better experience for our customers, our artists, and our staff. And we've done that religiously every year. What amazes me is January, February, how many interruptions I get from artists who did their first year, you know, have just finished their first season and want to talk about how they can upgrade their presentation for next year and how they can use what they learned. And I love spending time doing that with
them. It's a sign of a job well done.
You know, it makes you feel good. It really makes you feel good. And I think that's really the whole reason that I'm still doing this, is because it feels good. And it feels good to know. It feels good to learn. The biggest frustration, though, for young artists up and coming is not knowing what they don't know, not having a clue as to what's important in order to make their career work. And if I can just in a few minutes put them on a track, that's a win, 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 win all the way down the line for everybody involved for a long time to come.
I'm a firm believer in that also. You know, the radio business, particularly when I got into it in the 90s, was very competitive. People would be, you know, more than willing to step on you in order to be famous and things like that. And as the business became less important in society, and, you know, streaming music and stuff like that started to become more, that is toned down a bit. And one of my favorite things now is finding the person who has a passion for the business that I have the opportunity to train, because I've been doing this since the late 90s. And yeah. So this is to be able to pass along even the smallest thing, exactly as you said, you know, as far as the organization of somebody's work, to make it more streamlined or to make it, you know, more visual in your case. You know, there's something amazing in that, in the fact that it's almost like offhand information to you, but exactly as you said, these people don't know it yet. They haven't had any experiences to teach them that until that moment. And then you're that story for them for the rest of their lives. I remember this guy at this show that I used to work, and he just told me the simplest thing: put your best work in the middle. And I've been making, you know, X amount of money since then. And there's
put it where it's visible. I mean, I have several friends across the country who have bragged to all of their friends that I was responsible for a 50% to 100% increase in revenue for them after 1 year of the show because of what they learned. And if I can do that, yeah, that's all good. So let me tell you what people are going to find. They're going to find three bands a day. We've got the main stage for our first and last band. We have a new side stage for the second, for the middle band. We have a thing called Hello Trouble Hall, which is like a little beer garden set up right there next to the stage and the side stage. So that's kind of a new attraction we haven't had before. And you're going to find about 130, 140 booths full of artists. Some of them are shared by as many as 8 different artists. Some of them are cooperatives. Some of them are single artists. And you're going to find a great variety of things to be interested in, to look at, to want to take home, give it a new home, and cherish it, turn it into a family heirloom. And that's the kind of thing, the power of the art.
And even if you are just coming down to look at the art and enjoy the music, which I want to touch on some, you actually have some legitimate musicians there. This isn't like a cover bands or that sort of thing. You know, I was looking at, and you have some legitimate players in the music industry that are coming, that are, they're worth going to see in concert alone, let alone the fact that you get to go to the Armadillo and Holiday Bazaar also.
And you would pay a whole lot more to see them in a club than you will be able to see here. We have such a nice, intimate stage, and it's, you know, good sound all over the hall. That's one thing that people marveled at. How did you get it to sound so good in Palmer? Well, we work with a really good group who really knows what they're doing, and we spend a lot of money on the equipment to make sure it sounds good. Because otherwise, we got all the charm of this hangar deck of an aircraft carrier. Turn it into something warm, cozy. It sounds great. And all the production values that make it feel good to be here.
Well, there's exactly a holiday ambiance there. There is an experience to going to this. It isn't just going there to get gifts or to, you know, even just see a show, or it is everything as a whole. Like, you literally open up the doors and it is a vibe that you feel, you absorb it. It is impossible, as you said, to walk around cranky.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's hard to keep a bad mood here. It really is. You'd have to work at it. And we don't give you any impetus to do that. No, it's really all based on joy. It really is all based on joy. We had a guy that ran our toy store for years. He passed away from cancer years ago. But he always said spreading joy is really what it's about. That was his business, was to spread joy. And he always said it was a confusing issue because your mind couldn't really tell if it was incoming or outgoing. It just all felt good. And so basically our show, when you walk around it, there's so much joy being spread around. It just all feels good.
It just all feels good. And as he said earlier, he couldn't draw in the best artists in the country, so he decided to create them.
We made some great careers out of it. Yes, we certainly did. And thank you so much.
The city of Austin and the art community as a whole thanks you for that, because, you know, I'm talking to somebody who has made some pretty big ripples in, you know, in many different industries, many different creative outlets. And I have enjoyed the results of that. So just on my own behalf, thank you. But I'm going to go ahead and thank you on behalf of a city and a society of art. Beyond that is that you have made a difference in this world, and that's what this show is all about, is people who have made an impact on the Central Texas area. But you went ahead and did that a little bit bigger, didn't you?
Well, yeah, and again, I was lucky. I had good mentors. I had someone who taught me the value of the concept of we. We can do anything we believe in as long as we remember that we're we.
And that's why you are the teacher that you are now, is because somebody taught you.
Taught me. And see, the other side of that is you can be us and them, but all us and them can do is fight and waste their energy. But we can do anything we believe in. And some of the major changes in this city came by creating a group that referred to itself as the Big We.
I don't know if I can end that on a more perfect note than we thank you very much for joining us. The Armadillo Christmas Bazaar, open daily 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m., going on now through December 23rd. We have been joined by Bruce Wilenzik, the executive producer of the Armadillo Christmas Bazaar. Thank you so much, Bruce.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Sure appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.